as we know, the Isra Basar B'Cholov is repeated three times in the Torah. There are three times in the Torah we have the terminology of Ashel Gedi B'Chalei Bima. We've talked earlier about the significance of being written in this, what would seem to be a poetic statement rather than a purely halachic statement. So, I talked earlier in the name of Rav Kook Zecher Tzadik Livracha. But because of the fact that this pasuk is repeated three times, so Chazal have learned that there are three Isurim associated with Basar B'Cholov. There's an Isur to eat it, there's an Isur to benefit from it, to have any hanor from it, which is unusual. Generally, the Isur Achila don't carry with it an Isur hanor, an Isur hanor, generally speaking. And finally, there's what's especially unique, is that there's an Isur to cook Basar and Cholov. Right? There's no Isur to cook a piece of Chazir. Even to put kosher meat with chazir and to cook it, it's also not, there's no Isra. But there is a halacha that one may not purchase non-kosher food, even if my purpose in purchasing it is to supply it to non-Jewish workers. So I want to go buy McDonald's and buy them lunch. It's osur. Shalom is Isra Darabonani, Isra Daraisa, but it's something that's later on in the Shulchan Aruch. Osur it is. But if I have a piece of chazer, I found the metziah of a piece of chazer, I took it to Mokum Hefsid, a company guy, somebody owed me $100,000, and I received in the bankruptcy settlement $100,000 of chazer. I'm allowed to take it to Mokum Hefsid in such a situation. I'm allowed to take it, be matzel my money, and I'm allowed to sell it afterwards. I could cook it too if I want. But Basar B'Cholov has a particular Issa that is an Issa to cook it as well. So this adds really to the issue that we have with the Zahiris and Basar B'Cholov, that if we believe that we have a serious issue of Basar B'Cholov, we can't go to settle the issue after we cook it. We have to settle the issue before. Because if we cook it, and in fact we were not allowed to, so that's an additional lav. Even if I don't wind up eating it, there's a lav nusav ashel gedi v'chalei bima. Now, because of the fact that the language is couched in losav ashel, so Shas tells us derech bishul osrotar. It has to be that I cook them together. If I didn't cook them together, to make a hero sandwich, you know, with pastrami and cheese, uncooked, it's also midrabbanan, it's not also minatar. Now, what's particularly fascinating in this, that there's a distinction between meat and fowl. In meat, there's an Isur of Basar B'Cholov. When it comes to fowl, that's a machlok is really Tanoim in the Gemara. The Gemara discusses it in Be'ah, among other places. If Psar Oif, B'Cholov, a fowl, together with milk, is Osam Midaraisa, Osam Midarabonon, a machlok is the Chacham and Rabbi Yosi, and we paskin, but it's only Osam Midarabonon. Now, that has enormous implications. The distinction between a deraisa and a derabanan touches many, many issues in terms of that misofik, that a derabanan could be mutim, a deraisa it's not. So there's a big difference in evaluating the shayla. But there's another interesting wrinkle to this, and which is in twofold. Number one is the Ramot tell the Shulchan Aruch tells us, Basar B'Cholov sheino osam min hatorah, if it's not osam min hatorah, it's mutar b'hanor. This is a citation from the Torah Shulchan Aruch. So even if an error, he cooked, he meant to take margarine, and he put butter into the chicken, or butter into the turkey, and he cooked it. So it's also mid rabbanon to consume that fowl. But it's mutter b'hanor. So mutter b'hanor, also there's a confusion. I mean, I have it to be the Shulchan Aruch discusses this really in Hilchos Pesach. Suppose I have a piece of meat that became osur b'hanor. Can I give it to a non-Jew as a present? Can I feed it to an animal? In both cases, it's osur. Because I'm deriving benefit, whether from another human being that will thank me for it, or the pleasure that I have in feeding an animal from it. Either way, it's osur b'hanor. But by besar oif, b'cholov, even if it is definitely it's osur, and as I said, I mistakenly put butter into the chicken rather than margarine, or it was a milchika margarine rather than a parva one, which does happen, you have to be careful for that. There are milchika margarines out there. So the halacha is it's mutter b'hanor. So if I want, I can give it to my cleaning lady to take home with her. I shall have a koras atov, shall appreciate it. I'll derive ultimately benefit from it. There's no iser b'hano. That is the second thing, that when we're dealing with bosar b'chol of adrabonon, like as b'sarov, there's no iser on bishul either. There's no iser bishul. There's no iser bishul. So, if I wanted to cook at a non-kosher pot, put milk and butter into the chicken for my shiksa, that works for me. There's no Easter in doing so.
You can do the tray for meat also, probably.
Huh? Well, I have a problem buying the tray for meat. So I'm not allowed to do schayra, but dover also. I cannot buy tray for meat, even to feed to a non-Jew. This is a halacha, which is widely overlooked.
It's not just like having a business, it's even...
It's not only, no, it's clear. To purchase it to feed to my non-Jewish workers is also a violation of the Issur Schayr.
Trading pork bellies would be the same problem.
No, I don't believe the trading pork bellies, personally. I think that the people that think that way are superficial in their tfisa. For a very simple reason, because when you trade pork bellies, all you have is a contract.
Never intend to take a look.
You have a future contract. The old joke goes, if you don't sell your contract for potatoes for March soon enough, you may wind up with a railroad car of potatoes on your front lawn. But you don't own.
You don't get it on your front lawn either. You just get a warehouse certificate.
But you don't own anything. A futures contract means someone is obligated at some future date to deliver something to you. If you hold a contract to its close. And basically, the only one that would hold it to its close is a guy that's actually in the business that used it to hedge, and it was worth his while to hold it, and he really wants delivery. But no one else can hold it to its close. So in actuality, you don't own anything. There's no chazer that you own. You own a contract, which obligates someone at some point to sell you chazer at a certain price. So that's why I have never thought that futures trading is a violation of the Issur Schayr.
What if you own stock in a company that deals in trade food?
So what happens if you own stock in a company that deals in trade food? So this we come back to a tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. There are those that perhaps would tell me that there's no violation unless I own Rover shares. Rav Moshe did not so hold. Rav Moshe, in fact, was more machmer than that. Rav Moshe said, I have to own enough shares that when I sneeze, management shakes. As I put it, the best way to describe it is that I own enough that I have a voice in management. If you have a 5% position in a corporation,
you have a voice in management.
You know, the Raiders don't take, you know, how much did they buy? 5%. They probably never get much more than that. And that's enough for them to shake the whole corporate structure.
Take over the company.
Yeah, with having a 5% stake. So if your position is strong enough that management has to take you into account, then you can very much consider you an owner. But if you merely own, you know, I own 100 shares, And I'll go call up the president of Kraft and tell him I own 100 shares. He'll tell me, listen, I don't, call me in 10 years, I don't have time to talk to you. You know, because you're not an owner. You don't own anything. It's not considered an owner.
So if you buy like cat food or...
Oh, if you buy cat food. So if it's made for animals, only for animals. Yeah, the question is something, you don't need a hechsher. That's true. In other words, there's no isa schayr on animal food. But you do have to be careful of the question of bosa v'cholof. A lot of dog food is mamash bosa v'cholof. Is meat. Okay, there's a whole issue with the Noda Behuda, but if it applies to b'san nevela, not certainly l'chatchila, it applies to b'san nevela too. But I don't want to get further than that, into that. There is some smach in the Noda Behuda for certain difficult situations. So that we have to be careful about, the purchase of animal food, that it should not be made of bosa v'cholof. Kosher, it doesn't have to be, because it's omit for animals. But it cannot be bosa v'cholof. Now, there's a very prosaic issue, which one of my chaverim used to articulate. He's a very practical of Wendell, my chaverim, is the Rebbe of the Young Israel of Houston. A very practical minded person. I mean, he's a choshev rov, a choshev talmud chochom, but very practical minded. And he sees always the practical dimensions of things. So, one of the things, what he pointed out in this halacha is the following. That if you have leftover, let's say, chicken soup, which you want to throw out, so you want to, it's hot, and you want to put it into a milk container, so it doesn't leak out in the garbage. So that would be mutter to do, because there's no iser of bishul on besarif. But on the other hand, so even if you had a meat gravy, a hot meat gravy, and you wanted to pour it into an empty milk container, that's also, then you're violating the sevashu gediva chalavim.
Throwing it out, but
yeah. But in other words, I'm putting it into a container to throw it out. But lamaisa, right
now.
You
don't want the container. You don't want the soup.
What?
You don't want the container.
Yeah.
And you don't want the soup.
Yeah.
But you can't even do that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like a kli
shlishi
would help
in that type of situation. Yeah. The chayr is no. It's beyond a kli shlishi. Is beyond.
But it cools down also.
Yeah, but it's not yatsa lettuce also.
What?
Irui kli rishon.
I'm saying even though it's in a.
Iru, it's the Liru. Iru Kli Rishon is Bishul. We're Machman like Derech. What? That's Derech Bishul, yeah. Iru Kli Rishon is Derech Bishul.
Rinsing out there only tiny drops?
You still know. So good. What the best you're going to say, if it's enough that it'll be, if it's small enough that it'll be bottle, so it'll be a question of Bittel Yisra L'chadchila.
Yeah, but that 1 second in time when it first touches it.
That's whatever, that's not, yeah, but that may, you, I don't think we look at it that way. But it would depend. If it's a small amount, then it could become osur, and it would violate the derisa. If not, your problem is with bitul isa l'chachil.
And rinsing out the milk bottle before wouldn't really help you? I mean,
it's not clear, and let me explain to you why. Because we have an issue of the following of kovush. When you have a liquid, and a liquid stays inside a container for more than 24 hours, there's a certain level of bliya that it absorbs into the container by itself.
Even in plastic.
Even in plastic. Even, you know, the only thing that we halachically grant the status that there's no bliya is glass. And even glass, there's controversy about glass, because we know the Ramo was machmer and uchos Pesach to consider glass like cheres. And the shaila is this only by Pesach? Is it a whole year? So there are those that say it has a din cheres and you can't even kasher it the whole year. There are, as we do for Pesach, there are those who say that a whole year you can kasher it. And there are those that say that you don't even need to kashu it a whole year.
Switch back and forth.
But I mean, except tech barai. There is a limitation even to use your. You can't eat cottage cheese regularly on your fleishig dishes. Because we're concerned, it's a halach and some tzadik aleph, in Yerodeya, that. If you're going to put ban on it and you have to wash it off, maybe you won't wash it off appropriately.
I was just told that it's not necessary to have two drain boards for Basar, one for Basar, one for Chayyav.
I don't know if it's, let's put it this way. I can't articulate it as a Chayyav, but it's a wise move to have. Why is it wise? Because we don't always get things 100% clean when we wash them. And therefore, if you have some grease left on it, you're going to get the grease in the drain board, and now that grease is not next time going to go for to the milch kelim, when they put the milch kelim. And that's why there are certain things which in the theoretical tzad have a basis. In the practical world, they don't work. They don't work practically.
That's the yug.
You know, you have to be sensitive to the practical aspect of it.
So glass cups should be designated?
Certainly they should be designated lechatchila, because you don't want to be in the situation that you drank milk from it and now you're using it at a fleishig meal with fleishigs, and where it may not be 100% clean, or you used it at a fleishig meal and now you want to drink milk in it. Even though, as I said, mitzad adin mustavrid it's mutter, and probably over the doris people won't makel. If I think back to my childhood, the glasses were pretty flexible in glasses, and Lamaisa, there was a whole issue with Wagner, Olav Shalom, that was involved in it. Rav Steinberg was involved in it many years ago. And Rav Steinberg went and he asked the Kloisenberger Dayan, official Hershkowitz, who was probably the choshes, the Hasidish Dayan out there today. And he told him, what do you want? He said, the Messiah is to be Mekel, he says, and it's Shaila. You know, it doesn't need Hagolah, the Messiah for a whole year was to be Mekel. That's what he told him.
But they changed from Chometz to Pesach. I remember every 3 days they had a change.
If you use it, that's something that you use with cold, only with cold. Oh. So then you could, there's a bit of Mila V'Iro, you could soak it and then dump the water out after 24 hours and re-soak it. That bespeaks the poverty of the times. You know, it's just, we, you know, people just did not have the money. I made the following calculation. In the door of my parents, and I noticed from my chaverim in yeshiva, many, many Shomer Shabbos families did not know of the existence of mitzvah tefillas kelim. Many, many did not know. And the guys in yeshiva, the parents, they came home, they learned such a halacha yeshiva, the parents thought they flipped out.
What, they buy a kelim
after? Yeah, toivel it. They never heard of such a thing. Some of my chaverim went, but the parents went away on vacation. They went and they came with a transportation wagon and took everything to the vikvah and was toivel it, you know, because their parents would have thought they were nuts. They would have went if they did it and they were around. So I knew about it. I remember going with my father, Olav Shalom, down to the bay, Jamaica Bay, wherever it was, near where we lived, you know, to be toivel kelim. Not all that often, but I remember going with him to be toivel kelim.
Jamaica Bay.
Yeah, we lived near the bay where, it's called, you'll see a sign for it on the Belt Parkway going towards Brooklyn. It's a little before Erskine Street. It says Old Mill Creek. Was where we used to go for Tashlich, where I went for Tashlich as a child. Mustava, that's when my father went to be Tovel that time, and I went with him, I presume. But I knew there was, so I made a cheshbon. How did it come about? So I realized very simply that it wasn't like today. People didn't buy, our grandparents did not buy kelim every other day, you know, who had money for such things. So upon the rare time that they did buy a kelim, they took it to their grandfather, took it to the mikvah, and it was toivel, and he went home. And his children actually never, it wasn't often enough that it became a topic that they were aware of, that there's such a thing as tefillas kelim.
Yeah, but one particular thing about Shatnez that they didn't buy clothes
as often. Yeah, it's also, it happens, so why did Shatnez become well known? Because a Yid, Mr. Rosenberg, was macabre upon himself in the concentration camp that if he survives the war, he's going to come and make us dedicate his life to educating Klal Yisrael about Shabbos. That's why it became well known, Enoch Anami. Without that, it wouldn't have. By now, it's axiomatic. Who doesn't, you know, you won't meet a frum person today that doesn't know about Tefillas Kelim. Why? Because tons of stores have mikvahs. People buy kelim all the time. That's the fate of mitzvahs. Mitzvahs have their own mazel. The ones that people are aware of, people are unaware of, depending on the sociological circumstances at the time.
It takes us so long today. People buy new things, even if they have. Years ago, year after year.
Yeah, it's a very different world that we live in. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Life is, you know, more comfortable.
In Eretz Yisrael, they do much more Hagolah.
Yeah, that's for the same reason. you know, and then
I think a lot of Israelis also.
So, Kitzad Rom Rabbeisai, so here we have to. So, we have that there's no Iser Bishel and there's no Iser Hano on Bosu Vacholov Midrabbana.
Oh.
That's Midrabbana, the way we pass it. So, this is an important Inyan, and I said, especially the Inyan of the Zahiris, of the Iser Hano from. Of Bosu Vacholov Deraisa. Animal food is the most likely place where we'll bump into this dog food. And also the Isra of Schayra, we may not do business with Dvar Masur. These are two very important points.
Can you do a stray animal that you don't have any obligation to feed?
No, I don't, but I think the Shulchan Aruch, I believe, is explicit in Hilchos Pesach that you cannot feed chametz even to a stray, because you have pleasure from doing it. That's also Hana. So this we have to, these are things that we need to keep in Ched.
Rabbi Wender's case with the chicken soup?
Yeah.
Can you pour hot meat, leftover, whatever, hot soup into your sink? Because your sink's like shreif, but is it considered dairy?
It's usually not going to be a problem. The reason is, even if it's treif, it has to be treif of a ben yomo, number one. Meaning, his question is, if I have one sink, can I pour hot meat sauce into the sink? So the answer to that question is yes. Why? Number one, it's only going to be, could conceivably be a problem if I also pour hot milchix into the sink the same day, which is not that common in most situations, number one. Number two, as Rav Moshe held in his tshuvas, that the only time that there could be an Iser is if I hit exactly the same spot with the stream. If I hit in a different spot and it bounces, that's already a different din already. So Rav Moshe has a lengthy tshuva, which he doesn't, at the end, he doesn't advise doing it, but Rav Moshe actually held that the sink is not treifed, or at least does not make the kelim treif. And you could actually wash Mitzara din, the milchix and fleishix in the same sink. Not simultaneously, but b'zeach hazeh. He didn't advise doing it, but Rav Moshe wrote a lengthy tshuva that it's mutter.
So all the cases we had with the splashing and cooking, not to clean the area, all those, you know, spot.
Well, you have to clean it.
Is that cooking? Is that what I was talking about? That's like a problem of cooking?
If it splashes, yeah.
Even though it's splashing on the pot.
Yeah.
Another pot.
That's also.
Besides craving up the kelim, but if I have a cold milchix pot,
yeah,
and that happened to be making schnitzel and it's frying.
So whatever, if it's an eno ben yomo, it wouldn't be bishel. Bishel it's not, but it's osur, it is. Osur is the pot.
Right.
So if the person was washing silverware over a treif sink, you know, by hand, and he drops it in and it's really scalding water.
You don't have to ask for such a thing, because the clearest position was articulated by Rav Osher Zimmerman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Erwin Dorn, I'm sure. Yeah. Rav Osher Zatzal said the following. His formulation was, the sink is treif, that's what he held, but it doesn't make anything treif. Means it was choshesh l'chumra that it's treif, to consider it treif, but it cannot make any, there are enough heterim that it can't make anything treif.
So if a piece of hot meat fell into that sink,
you could still use it, yes.
The rabbi said to, like, I thought I heard, to still, like, wash dishes in a dishpan, like a...
If you have one sink, you know, Rav Moshe, even at the bottom line on the tshuva, did not recommend using the sink, you know, with nothing else in it.
Is just a rack enough, or the rub would
want? A rack, I think, is enough.
And one doesn't have to worry when the sink sometimes backs up.
Make sure it doesn't back up.
Make sure it's not yet solid. Anyway.
Oh. Now I want to take a look at a little bit at the halachas of the meat after milk. Now, this is I want to make an important point here, which is often overlooked. And it's better fulfilled in all probability in commercial situations, because there are professional mashgichim than in our own houses. Even though usually we think, and it's probably true, that there's a hiras at home is better than in commercial establishments, but in this particular prat, the zahirus in commercial establishments far exceeds the zahirus in home situations. The Shulchan Aruch writes at Siman Pei Tes Siv Beis. Ochal gvino mutu lechol achro bosu miyad. If I ate cheese, we're not talking with what we call hard cheese, I ate cheese, I can eat meat immediately afterwards. Now this is according to some communities with noyik, that they waited a half an hour in between milachiks and fleishiks. And I'd always presume that was just a practical dimension to make sure that their mouths were clean already, there was nothing left. It could also be it's rooted in the Zohar. The Zohar writes something to the effect that you should wait sha'achas. So it could be that they held that roiv of a shah is already enough to be mekayim the sha'achas of the Zohar. That's what I suspect. Because I know, for example, I'm not personally knowing that way because it's not in the Shulchan Aruch, but my forebears, in fact, who came from Ukraine, waited a half an hour in between milach and
suflation. Most people used to wait.
Yeah. That was, as I said, I could only know where my grandfather, my mother's father, my father's father's Minhagim, I'm not sure what he did in this regard. But he may have been the same. But I know my mother's father, who was from the Ukraine, waited a half an hour in between the milachiks and the fleishiks.
Then it's all right to just rinse your mouth and eat the fleishiks.
Mitzarat din, as I said, the minig has a basis, and those perhaps that are noyig like that, because of the fact that the shitas hazayir probably should not change from what they're doing. However, what was the Shulchan Aruch concerned with? The Shulchan Aruch says, Ovilvat. A caveat. What's the caveat? She'ayin yodov, to make sure that he checks his hands, shelo yeh shum dover me'agvira nidbak b'hem. That he should check them carefully to make sure there's no milachiks remaining on his hands. This is a bigger problem than the eating afterwards, is maybe I'm going to pick up a fleishig sandwich with cheesy hands or buttery hands. Then the Shulchan Aruch continues, if it's a place that's at night or it's dark enough, that he can't really examine his hands clearly, then he has to wash his hands to make sure that there's no milachiks left. He has to make kinuach piv uladicho and to rinse it out. The Shulchan Aruch says, v'ha-kinuach hu shegilois pas yikaneach bo piv. The kinuach is to eat like something hard, like a piece of bread, to clean out his mouth. V'chein v'chol dobo sheyirtzo. V'chutz mikimcho v'tamrei v'yarko. He shouldn't use flour, dates, or vegetables, because they themselves get stuck in the gums, and they don't clean out, and therefore v'ein mekantchen heitev. So that's kinuach. Then he should rinse his mouth out with wine or with water. If it's real meat, I don't think that should make for the difference. No.
The waiting time is the same with whether it was Ofer or Bosa?
Yeah, I'm not familiar that there's a difference between
them.
Now, it could very well be, so the Shulchan Aruch says that you have to do two things. Now, the Shach says that even though the Shulchan Aruch talks about Kinuach eating and Hadocha rinsing one's mouth out drinking something, Kosova goes Mordechai b'shem Aram shein tzoruch l'dakti b'tinuach v'adocha. It doesn't make a difference the order. He could put either one that he wants first. Okay. Now, it could be that this is also the basis. One of my very close chaverim, the head of the Chaver Kedisha, the Rebbe of his own, he was serving our Rosh Shuva about 40 years back in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rosh Shuva said it was Friday night and he was serving him. So after the fish, the Rosh Shuva, the tzal, asked my friend if he has a l'chaim for him. So my friend is a real, comes from a real Litvish family. So he says to Rosh Shuva, Rebbe, it's a chassidish minig. So the Rosh Shuva Zatzal always very quick on the uptake. He says, yeah, he says, you're right. He says, but it's a good one. No, but I think the reason for the minig, I believe that the reason for the minig is they were chayshish, that after fish, you also need a kinuach v'hadocha. And they held that with something charif, like schnapps, that you mekayim the kinuach and the hadoch in one shot. That's what I suspect was their cheshbon.
But they didn't need to eat further.
Right. That's where I presume that minute came from. That there weren't more. I might be mistaken in that regard. That's my suspicion that they were not makbid about kinuach and hadoch. And you see, lemaisa, we don't see.
But we don't see
that people were makbid after the fish.
To wash their hands.
Well, the two things, we'll come back to that in a minute. They're not makbid to eat anything. People make a l'chaim and then they go on to the next thing. So it looks like even in the places where the minhag was to make a l'chaim on schnapps, that was suffice to take place the place of kinuach v'hadocha. That's my suspicion. Now, what you mentioned of washing is a very important thing. And that is, if it's, let's say, it's a whitefish or something where there are bones and it's likely that you touch the fish with your hands, they're enochanami, you should go to wash your hands. But astam, we don't assume that you have to. But if it's a type of dish where it's common that you would, your hands would get dirty from the fish.
Well, are you usually touching the meat with the fishy hands?
So once you, well, you touch your challah that you're eating with the meat.
Okay.
You know.
But also Friday night, usually you wouldn't have that side. That's the reason for the filter fish, not that bones.
Good, that's those that have it. Not everyone's makbid. Some eat, you know, the white fish.
Herring.
Eat herring with a fork.
No. Oh. So this we have to be careful about. In other words, the inyan of making sure that our hands are clean. In between milach and sublation. Say commercially, the mashgichim are very makbir about this. You know, in the commercial world, you know, cooks have to wear gloves. Can't do your chas v'shalom to work, you know, with your bare hands on anything. But they're very makbir with them. If they go from one side of the kitchen to the other, they have to get rid of the gloves and wash their hands. Very makbir. But this is. So
just switching gloves isn't good enough. They
usually make them wash their hands also, you know, to make sure. Because a lot of times the hands can get dirty, you know, the hands are in mixing things and things get behind the gloves and whatever. But
is there an easy kinuach if the milk is just liquid?
The chayrin, I would think, I'm not 100% sure, in all honesty. I presume the answer to the question is no. But I'm not 100% sure. You'll remind me, I will look further into that.
So lechatchila, one should do both between fish and meat. One should do kiduah nadacha between fish and meat.
What?
Lechatchila, one should do both between fish and meat. Besides washing hands, one should also eat something and drink something between fish and meat.
The minhag is not that way, and I don't want to articulate. You know, this is not the minhag of Klal Yisrael. If it's a situation, it's chloral, we didn't, that if it's a type of, in other words, fish that it's likely that you touched it, And especially if you know you did touch it, that you should wash your hands also after the fish.
So water would be sufficient between fish and meat? Because we're not drinking. We're not drinking lechem.
Yeah.
After all.
The world was not overly machmer in that halacha, because it could be. The Shulchan Aruch talks about yadiach pivamayim obiyayim. But the world was noyeg, as long as they drink anything in between the fish and the meat, they make it afterwards. But as I said, I suspect the Chassidish Aminog was because they wanted to be machmer for hadocha and kinuach. They held with the Dovah Chariv, they ate it both. That's my suspicion. Now, we also have the din. And I'm going to discuss, in fact, we wait in between a meat meal and eating milchik, dairy afterwards. The Shulchan Aruch, it does not, the Gemara talks about waiting from Suda to Suda. But what that is not spelled out clearly in the Gemara. And as we know, there are differing practices. There are at least three minhagim that I'm aware of. There are those that waited an hour, those that waited 3 hours, and those that waited 6 hours.
It's 5 hours and 1 minute.
Oh, we'll come. What the six-hour sheet holds. So part of it had to do with how much time there was between one Suda and the next. Was it 6 hours in between? Was the lesser amount of time? Okay, that was subject to different days over the Durs. And as we know, that among the German community, the Holland community, in Holland, they did not observe 6 hours. Somewhere between 1 and 3, depending on which community it was, from what I know. And in the other European communities observed a 6 hour wait. Now, the Rambam writes when he talks about the 6 hour wait. Let me go back one step. The Gemara says, a very interesting Gemara. Unfortunately, I don't know where the Gro that I'm about to tell you is. The Gemara says that the Amora said, I am kecholo legabe yayin, I'm as vinegar as compared to wine, when I compare my piety, my frumkeit, to the frumkeit of my father. My father used to wait 24 hours after eating meat before he ate milk again. And I wait from, as we do, from Suda to Suda, the amount of time from one meal to the next. That's the Gemara. So the Kasha is a very simple Kasha, and it's asked by many. The Flo asked this question, the Gro asked this question. It's a big kunst to wait 24 hours. If his father waited 24 hours, he also could have waited 24 hours. What was the big problem? So both of them give the same answer. The Rosh Hashiva Zatzal used to talk about this. This was a major aspect, you know, of his shittas. It didn't come from there, but this affirmed the shittas that he had been mekabel, you know, from his father. And that is that was the Gro and the Flo both answered. He could have waited 24 hours. That's true, but it's only significant to wait 24 hours if he really feels there's a necessity to be meticulous in the observance of Bosu V'Cholov. If he did it for that reason, it would have meaning. If he did it merely to emulate that which his father did, but he has no passion that there's really a reason to wait, then it's an empty action. And both of them talk about the fact that a person is not supposed to be involved in chumras, which are beyond their madrega. So his father had a feeling that this was inappropriate. So for his father, it was appropriate to wait 24 hours, because he held it was inappropriate to wait less than that. And since he didn't have that passion, that feeling, for him it would be inappropriate to wait more than Ben Suda L'Suda, which the din requires. This is a very major yesayid that the Rosh Hashanah Zatzal used to articulate, that Avodas Hashem has to be the things which the din doesn't require, what we take upon ourselves just to be consistent with the madriga that we're at. We can't, you know, jump outside our own realm to chase after things which we have really no association with. And that is not a proper derech on Avodas Hashem. unfortunately, I shared this with an Adam Godel that I'm very close with for many years. And he wanted to know where the grow was. And unfortunately, by the time that when this discussion had taken place, and I asked someone to ask the Rosh Yeshiva, that Sal Rosh Yeshiva was very aged, and he no longer remembered where the grow was. But the Rambam writes that we should wait kishay shows, a very strange losh. Kishay shows. So because the Rambam wrote, she didn't wait shay shows, it's just kishay shows. So what does kishay shows mean? So this has led, as far as I know, to three different interpretations historically of what the Rambam meant. There are those that say that as long as it's into the sixth hour, 5 hours and a minute is enough. There are those that say that 5 hours and 31 minutes is enough, as long as it's over the sixth hour. And a third interpretation of this Rambam was offered by Ramosha Feinstein, Zechut Tzadik Livrocha. Ramosha said, no, the Rambam holds you have to wait 6 hours. But what did he write, Kishesh? What the Rambam meant to convey is the following. Let's say you want to eat milchiks, and then we have a shayla. Did we stop eating the cholent? Was it 12:30, 12:35, 12:40? We don't know exactly. So he said, Ramosha Zatzal says that's what the Rambam meant, Kishesh shows. That at the margin, in the area where Mesupik, if it's exactly 6 hours, or, you know, or a little less than 6 hours, so once we hit that point, we're allowed to be Mekel. There's no need to be Machma more than that. We don't have to be absolutely certain that it's 6 hours. If it might have been 6 hours, I'm not sure if it was 10 minutes more, 10 minutes less, we don't know. That's also, I guess, because it's a Dindra Bonon, that's what the Rambam meant, Kishay shows, that you can an approximation of what the time is also fine. To be Yaitse, the dinner of the 6 hours.
And Lamaisa, if we today are in Mesupik, then we finish 12:30, 12:40.
That's right. So Lamaisa said, that's it. If you think you may have finished 12:30 in Mesupik, it's 6:30, you can eat.
But if you know it's 5 hours and 45 minutes.
Ramosha was not make like that. Okay, there are different shitas. And this is an old question.
What about Rashi's shita? Rashi also comes to 6 hours, doesn't he? I believe. And I think he says something about removing the food from the teeth.
Oh, we come. The question is, I should have really taken up on this. What is the reason that we wait to 6 hours? Why do we wait 6 hours? So here we have, the Taz tells us, Yesh Brzeh Beis Taima, the beginning of Simon Peites. Echot Shalbosim Motzi Shumun Amoshech Tam Azman Oroch. That if you eat something fatty, you still can feel the flavor in your system. It's not fully digested until 6 hours. Suppose a person didn't actually swallow, but they just chewed something, and they spit it out. The Rambam says the problem is the meat that gets pieces of meat that get stuck in between the two in one's teeth. The mikri boser achei shows. And therefore, if I eat milchiks, so I'm eating milchiks together with leishik, so I have to wait. And after 6 hours, it's considered already that it's broken down enough by the saliva that it is no longer considered meat anymore. And according to the Rambam, it comes out if I chewed something and then I spit it out, so I would have to wait the 6 hours. Yesh rak, yesh kula b'vosa shaveda shenayim shachav of shos. But according to the Rambam, it comes out as a different kula. According to the Rambam, if I find a piece of meat stuck in my teeth more than 6 hours after I finished eating the fleishiks, I don't have to bother to take it out of my mouth. I can eat milchiks with that in my mouth. And according to the first shita that we had, the first shita said the reason is because of the pieces that get stuck in between one's teeth. Not because of the pieces that are stuck in between one's teeth, but rather, I still have the taste of the meat. So they don't have any special heter that after 6 hours that are the pieces in between the teeth are no longer considered meat. So according to them, there's a requirement to remove a piece of meat that's in between my teeth even after 6 hours. And the task concludes, which is the meri, v'kaimel on the hachmer k'shnei ha'taimel. the minhag, the vaseir of Klal Yisrael is in fact to be machmir for both reasons. So meaning that if I only chewed something, I still have to wait 6 hours. And on the other hand, if I find a piece in between my teeth, after 6 hours, I still have to remove it. Yes?
So how does this stem with the being suda lasudas? Because of the physical properties of meat when you change from Holland to
New York. No. Their question is what the Gemara meant by being suda lasuda. We don't know. You know, we do not determine halachas. We do not have a scientific mesira. You know, if they, that would tell us, well, you know, we have this particular chemical gauge of the meat, and when it reaches this point, that's considered digested. You know, that's not the way our mesira works. Our mesira described it in terms of ben suda lasuda. So we can only articulate the halacha in terms of our understanding from within the halacha what ben suda lasuda is. Okay, Rabbi Isai, it has been a pleasure.
Thank you.